Welcome to Light from the Word, a ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Moraine, Ohio. In the Bible, in Psalms chapter 119, verse 130, the Bible says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." We pray that the Holy Spirit would give you light from the Word as Pastor Tom Gresham brings the message today.
I was thinking about being prepared, and I was thinking about the last couple days, looking at the going to the popcorn festival, really any opportunity that we have to try to be a witness to people, you realize that when we do it, it's not about us. It's about our faith in our God. It really is. It's not about us. It's about our faith in our God and what our God can do. Turn to Mark chapter 2. There's a familiar scripture here that I want us to look at and just kind of have some thoughts about it tonight and how it relates to us in reaching people. You know, when we talk about ministry, sometimes people think, well, you know, you get caught up in ministry. But when you're doing ministry, it should be with a concept that people need Jesus. I mean, what's wrong with the world is folks need the Lord. I mean, that's the bottom line. People need the Lord. There's that song, "People Need the Lord." But people need Jesus Christ. And in the scriptures, when everybody met Christ, a majority of them, it changed their life. Now, there were some like the rich young ruler that went away sad. But generally speaking, all those that came to Jesus for help got the help they needed. And some really even above and beyond what they imagined. I mean, you think about the maniac of Gadara. I mean, he just wanted delivered from the devil, for crying out loud. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he had a miserable life, but man, he was seated at the foot of Christ, dressed in his right mind, wanted to go with Christ, and Christ told him, "No, go back home and tell everybody what God's done for you." I guarantee you, that old boy had a testimony to go back and tell people what happened to him. And it said he published it. Now, we think of publishing as tracts. Maybe he wrote a little tract. Maybe he posted something up on, they used to have where they'd have a town crier. They'd post bulletins up about stuff. Who knows how much he went around and just said, "Hey, hear ye, hear ye. Let me tell you what happened to me." Amen. I mean, wouldn't that be something? You're driving along, somebody going, "Hear me," and you stop and you listen. "Let me tell you what Jesus did for me." It wasn't what did the disciples do. It wasn't what did church do. What did our denomination do? A lot of times people get caught up, even in Baptist churches, they're like, well, you know, and I understand inviting people to church, and you want to try to get them in a place where they're willing to listen to the gospel, but what they need is Jesus Christ. And here in Mark chapter 2, let's read the scripture and kind of look at some things tonight, try to encourage us in our faith. It says in Mark chapter 2, verse 1, "And again he," speaking of Christ, "entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in the spirit that they so reasoned within themselves," now you got to realize what we just read was all happening in their heart and mind. Nobody said it. They were just thinking it. Can you imagine? I mean, no wonder they wanted to get rid of him. He could sit here and like look and he'd say, okay. And he'd say something. Lydia would go, "How do you know what I was thinking?" You know what I mean? And Bill could be sitting there thinking, "Man, I'm tired. I don't want to listen to this." And he'd be like, you know, "Well, here, let me tell you about a tired man or something." He'd be like, "Dude, man, how do you know?" I mean, the thing is he read their minds. And then when he perceived what was going on in their minds, then he responded to them. You know, that had to be unnerving for them. And so it says, "He perceived in his spirit, they so reasoned within themselves. He said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. How you think about it? He says, oh yeah, forgiven sins? Well, listen, to prove to you I can forgive sins, I'm just going to tell him, get up, all right, get up, walk and go. Off he goes. He showed the power that he had to do, but the thing about it is initially what you see is the man with the palsy, and really the case of everybody is it starts off because of sin. We're all sinners. You know why everybody going by us that's not saved needs Jesus Christ? Because they're lost in sin. It doesn't matter what their station of life is, what their occupation is. Without Jesus Christ, they're lost in sin. And they're headed for a devil's hell, lake of fire in the end. That's what you got to remember. When you see people, you'll see all different kinds of people, old people, young people, could be spiked hair, tattooed, nose piercings, all the rest, purple hair, half-dressed, who knows? About every kind of part of society be out there. And the weather's supposed to be nice, which is good because that generally draws a lot more people that you can witness to. Amen, but there's no telling what you're going to run into as far as people goes. But the bottom line is, why are we there? Because they need Jesus Christ. It's not like, oh, look at that. Ooh, look at that. Did you see this? Did you see that? What do you expect? We're going to be in the middle of a lost world. And there may be some people surprised you say they're Christians. You'll be like, ooh, didn't see that coming. But the bottom line is there, we're not there to try to figure out who's better than who. We're there to let people know about Jesus Christ. And you know, maybe that person that says they're a Christian, maybe they're looking for somebody to care about them and somebody that actually love them versus just get on their case. You never know what you're going to deal with. You know, Tracy's mom and them was here in the McCoys Sunday night. They was talking about why we was looking for the church. The church we was in Fairborn was a Southern Baptist church, and everything was just about politics and the politics and the politics. And, man, they cut you down, stab you in the back, everything, all the politics of it. And when we left there, I was fed up. I was done with church. I was like, I'm sick and tired of all this junk of people, all of the politics with it. I don't want any of that mess. And what I prayed to God, I said, God, if we can just find a place where there's people that love you and want to live for you, I know we're all just sinners saved by the grace of God. That's not the issue. But hey, if I could just find a place where I know there's people that are trying to serve you, that love you, that's what we're looking for. And I said, God, if we can't find a place like that, I'm done. I'm finished. I've never been good at politics. I don't like it. I don't like it in the workplace. I don't like it anywhere. You do your job. You be what you be for real, and quit all the junk, the schmoozing up and all that. I hate all that. And I especially hate it in church because that's not how Christians are supposed to deal with one another. And we left there, and I was just done. I was like, Lord, we just need to find. We visited a bunch of different places and find it. The first time the Lord took us to charity, we went there, well, we had a lady living with us, and we took her in, and her and I went the first time, and the barbecue was later. But you know the first thing that I realized in that place? Man, I heard them people singing congregational songs, and man, they were singing. In the church we was in, you get a few people singing here, there, and all that, but you could have 100 people in there. It didn't sound like yours, but 10 singing, you know what I mean? You're like, man, are these people excited about this or what? Man, we got over the chair and holy cow, man, those people were singing. I mean, singing. It was like, these folks are serious. Man, then we heard the preaching. Then you get behind, brother, you still be peel your hide, jump up on that chair and point down at you. You better get your heart right with God. I wouldn't know that milk toast business, man. You need to get in that book. That book will change your life. Amen. Sin will keep you from that book. That book will keep you from sin. You hear a lot of those catchphrases, man, that stuff was burning. I was like, this is what I was after. You said, well, there are problems. Anytime you have people, there's going to be problems. I get that. But you never know, just being kind to somebody. Well, I used to go, well, hey, man, why don't you just come? We'd love to have you come. I tell people, been run out of church, whatever. I tell them, I'd love to have you come. Why? Because you never know when it's going to be the turning point, like the prodigal son that said he came to himself. Maybe you give him a track, just being kind to him, say, we'd love to have you come. Come see us. How about if I pray with you? Let me pray with you. That might be a turning point in somebody's life. You never know what God's going to bring. Here's the thing. I believe God gives you divine appointments. And when He sees that you're willing to have faith in Him and what He can do, there'll be a divine appointment. You know what you see here with this man that had the palsy? He had a divine appointment with Jesus Christ because of the faith of four men. The title of the message is Grab a Corner. You say, grab a corner what? The guy was on his bed. If you got four guys carry a guy, you know what you're going to do? You grab and go get a corner, two at the head, two at the feet. You're going to pick a guy up and you're going to carry him. Now, what we got to get out of our Western mind is, was it a queen size, a king size? You know what I'm saying? He was on more of a mat than anything else. Could have been just a blanket was his bed. You see that a lot in the Orient, some of these places where the temperature's real hot. Man, they ain't got no great big old spring mattress and all that. Whatever this guy's on, he's a palsy. If you've ever been there, I remember when I was in Korea, they had these guys over there. I mean, they were missing legs and stuff like that. And they had a mat that was about that thick. And it was just big enough for them to sit on. And they'd scoot on that thing. They'd use their hands and they'd just scoot. And then they'd hold their hand up or a little can or something for money. You get a guy with a palsy, he can't get around. He had to have somebody take interest in him to get him to Jesus. Amen? And so you can imagine each one of these men. And here's the thing, the Bible doesn't tell us anything about these men. Except they had great faith. You know, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter anything about who we are. It's a matter of the faith we have in our God and what He can do. It ain't about us getting a pat on the back or being accolades by anybody. It's a matter of us having enough faith to tell somebody Jesus Christ can change their life. And how do we know He can change their life? Because He changed our life. How do we know He can give you peace? He gave me peace. Amen? That's some of the things you know. It starts off, it says, it was noise that he was in the house. I have some different notes from places. The guy said this, when Christ may be said to be in the house when the Bible is there. It was interesting, he preached to him. When a good man enters it and carries with him the savor of Christ. You know, Christ is said to be in the house when he dwells in the heart of anyone in the family, the parent, the child, the servant. Talk about in the house. Into whatever house a Christian family enters, Christ enters with it. Amen? Some of the advantages of having Christ in the house. If it be noise that Christ is in the house, good men will be drawn to it and bad men will keep away. And you know what you find out? It's interesting. Why don't some of these people come to church? They don't want to. They don't want to live right. They don't want to do right, so they don't come. It's really that simple. Why do people that want to get close to God, why do they come to church? They need the preaching. They want the preaching, the encouragement, the fellowship, the singing. All that's a part of spirit, and they want that. You've got to desire that thing. You know, Jesus announced, man, so many different times people talk, man, they got a great meeting going over here. Somebody's preaching it. Man, God's moving. Man, and people go. You listen, you know what we want to have a testimony at Liberty Baptist Church? That Jesus is in the house. He's doing something in the lives of people in the house. But if they don't see Him doing anything or we don't tell them that He's doing anything, how are they going to know? There'll be a witness for God there. There'll be a concern when folks come in. Do they know Christ as their Savior? Folks will be willing to witness to somebody. Talk to them about the Lord. There's a direct communication between it and the house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That house is under a peculiar protection, a divine providence. And the sympathies of good men are drawn towards it. We should seek Christ on our own account. We should seek Him on account of others. Now it says here that he was born of four. Again, there's no names given. We know nothing about these four other than their faith. It's a deed of love. It's chronicled of what they've done, but nothing to identify who they are. Think about how many thousands of people are witness for Christ and folks don't even know who they are. They may be unnamed to us, and they may not be honored by mankind, but their record's on high. The Lord knows, and the Lord rewards. Too many folks are looking for reward here, and so they don't get involved in trying to bear a burden for somebody else. Now you think about it, to bear that burden, they had to carry that man. That was labor. And not only do you think of the labor of carrying that man, but when they get to the house and you realize that they can't get to him because there's so many, I mean, the house is full. And there's people all around pressing to look to see what's going on in this house. Jesus and they're preaching, and they need to get this man to Christ. You know what? If they were like most modern day Christians, they'd have got up there, saw the crowd, went, well, it's too crowded. We're going home. We'll try to come back another time, maybe come earlier another time. They weren't dissuaded because there was a little bit of trouble, because there was a little bit of resistance. You know what I find that gets me in this day that we're in today? Is that when you talk about doing things, people, well, you know, I'm pretty busy. I don't know if I can make the time. We can't. What do you mean? We're too busy to have an opportunity to tell people about Christ? We're too busy in our own lives that we can't take time to invite people to church? People are going to be walking right by, hand them stuff, get people to ask questions, get people to think about God? Man, whether you ever see them again or not, maybe they could be people, Pastor, we've run into people that were just in town visiting relatives. They come through, live in another state where you don't know where people are coming from. Man, will you give them a track and they go home and man, they meditate over that thing and they read over, get under conviction. They run into a Christian at work, invites them to church. They go and get saved, live for God, and you never know it down here. Be good to be a part of that. This man couldn't reach Christ without help. He couldn't get himself there. Listen, you know, when people are walking by there, there's folks, we sing that song, people need the Lord, the people pass you by. You don't know what's going on in their heart and life. You don't know the bad news they may have got about a loved one. Maybe they've got a loved one that's dying. Maybe they got somebody in the hospital they're praying for. Or hoping God will do something, knowing that there's a God. Well, God, are you real? And all of a sudden, there you are, him saying, listen, God loves you. God wants to save you. God wants to do a work in your life. Do you mean there is a God? You don't know what people might be coming through smiling at you and they're having marital problems, don't know where to turn. Don't know what's going on, how to raise their kids. There's this and that going on. Maybe they're ready to lose their job. Maybe they just lost their job. Just got out of the house. Some people are just getting out because you can get out. You never know what people are going through. So you know what we want to do? We want to be the ones that can reach them and tell them about Jesus Christ. Whether you get to talk to them or just give them a gospel tract, that's something that can be done. Now you think about these men, they came nigh to Christ and they couldn't get close to him. So what did they do? They had to get up on the roof. Well, a lot of those buildings, they had flat roofs on them. That's the way they built them. They're not peaked like they are here. But still, to get up to a roof, you got to go up a ladder or go up steps. A lot of folks that have a side set of steps. You ever try to carry somebody on, I'll just say a blanket for lack of better words, upstairs? It's hard enough carrying them on flat ground. When I was in the military, we used to have to, we did different training and stuff like that. And we'd have a gurney that had the sticks on the side, the canvas gurney, man, that thing would roll up. You get somebody on it, each of you get a corner of that thing and you carry them. Man, just going up over rough terrain, going up a little bit of a hill. Man, if you're careful going up, you can drop them right back behind you. You know, so whoever's on the lower end, you know how does he move furniture. Man, when you're going up steps, you want to have the strongest people at the bottom. You got the weaker ones at the bottom, it's coming back down. You know what I'm saying? I mean, listen, what I'm trying to say is it took some work. It took some labor. They could have got to them steps and said, are you kidding me? But you know what their faith caused them to do? We've got to get this guy to Christ. His situation is severe enough that Christ is the only one that can help him. All right, fellas, let's do this thing. And I'm going to guarantee you that probably them steps weren't really wide enough to go side by side. Most steps aren't. I can tell you that from going into carrying caskets, going into churches and stuff. A lot of these places, this place here. Brother Lovell Sugar, we had to have people outside the door and then inside the door, get it past, get people running around here just to get through that door. Can you imagine having somebody on a blanket or something like that and you're trying to go up steps with them? Man, you got where they might have been going up sideways, little half step at a time, take a pause. It was work. And then you get up to the top of the roof. Well, how many people then had a skylight? They have no skylight in a roof like that. They had to find a place. And the Bible says here, it says they uncovered the roof where he was. You figure out where Christ was. All right, well, he's right under here. We can hear him. He's right here. And when they had broken it up, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us what material it was made of. But whatever material was made of, they had to pull that apart. And listen, they had to pull it apart to make a big enough place to lower a man. The Bible doesn't say exactly how that they did it, but I guarantee it took all four of them to lower that fella down there. They had to scrounge up a rope from somewhere. I'm sure that blanket or mattress wasn't enough. And you think going upstairs and dropping somebody something, have you ever tried to lower somebody? Man, you got to have, everybody's got to be lowering it exactly the same way. I don't know, they put something under his arms, lowered him down that way. He was a crippled man. Did they lower him by tying off the corners of the bed and each of them lowering him down that way? I don't know how they did it. But however they did it, they had to make sure they didn't drop him. I guess, of course, the good side, if he did drop him, he got hurt, Jesus would be like, bunch of clumsy nuts here. Let me pick this guy up. He's going to raise him. But he knew that. But they had to work together. It wasn't just, well, I'm going to do this. Well, I think we had. No, they had to have a unity there. They had to work together. He couldn't have reached Christ without their help. And you know what? This world is not going to be, it's not going to reach Christ or hear about Christ without the church. Who else on this planet's going to tell them about Christ? It ain't going to be the news media. It's not going to be the politicians. And it's not going to be religion. Religion talks about religion, not about Christ. Who is going to tell them? Maybe there's a lot of things you can't do, but you can invite people at least to go to church. The church can't cure the world of sin, but we know who can. Think about in Luke chapter 14. Turn to Luke 14, a familiar passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 14 and verse 21. It says, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house might be filled. You know, it's interesting. He says, go out and bring in. Go out and compel them to come in. Listen, that's what we need to do. And tell them, hey, look, we want you to come. We'd love for you to come. We want you to come. And you'll hear all kind of excuses. And what you do is look at them and go, well, okay, we still want you to come. Well, I mean, I don't have good church clothes. That's all right. Still come. Well, you know, I don't know if I can sit. Just come. Well, I'll need a ride. Give me your address. I'll pick you up. Take away as many excuses as you can. Compel them. Man, we'd really like for you to come. And if you get a chance to lead somebody to Christ, you will make sure you get your information so you can follow up with them. But impress upon them how very important it is for them to be at church. Man, I don't care if you're there Sunday afternoon, you lead somebody to Christ, hey, I'll go with you to church. We'll be there Sunday night. One of the biggest things the devil does to dissuade baby Christians is to keep them from going to church after they get saved. And the more times they miss church after they get saved, then the greater chance is they'll never come back. It's just the way it is. The selfishness of some who are enjoying Christian privileges is one of the greatest impediments to the spread of the blessings of the gospel among those who are as yet without them. The selfish crowd would not give place for the sick man. Won't take the time. Well, I'm saved. But did somebody take time to get you? Somebody get time to witness to you? Somebody talk to you? Somebody preach to you? Somebody give you a tract? I don't know, you know, we're all going to spend our time, and we only have a certain amount of time down here. It'd be a shame to stand before the Lord and have him say, you know, instead of goofing off on Saturday, you could have been here helping, and instead of just doing this on Sunday, something don't last very long, you could have been there. I had people coming by that you could have talked to. There's people here that you could have given a tract to. Oh, yeah, somebody else did it, but that could have been something you got reward for. That's something that could have been a blessing for you. There might have been somebody come along and encourage you. Somebody help you with something you're going through. You never know how God's going to set up divine appointments. Earnest perseverance in seeking Christ will overcome the greatest difficulties. The readiness to give up before difficulties is sure proof of half-heartedness. The Bible says in Proverbs 26:13, the slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. Oh, we can't go. There's a lion in the street. I thought about this. There's a lion in the way. Huh. Well, it seems to me like the devil likes to always get in the way. Don't he? He likes to get in the way of us trying to reach people for Christ. Yeah, there is a lion in the way. And we've got to not be afraid of him and do what we can to reach people with the gospel. The devil likes to get in the way all the time. Think about how many times you've tried to talk to somebody. Man, the devil gets in the way left and right. And you know, man, you're just getting right to, well, it seems like a good spot. And then boom, this happens, that happens. It's just the devil getting in the way. Amen. We just need to resist him. Bob said, resist him, he'll flee. But there's a lot of Christians. Well, you know, if the devil's out there, I mean, honestly, it's not about us being able to handle the devil. It's about our Savior being able to handle the devil. You say, well, I'm not afraid of the devil. I have respect for the devil, but I know my Savior can take care of him no problem. Amen? Though the way of coming to Christ may be irregular, his healing blessing will be certainly given when once he is truly found. There are cases in which the regular methods of the church fail and irregular methods seem to succeed. When I thought about that, a missionary came to mind right away. You know which missionary it was? Mike Roberts. Mike Roberts has got probably one of the best mission works with orphans and the Vietnamese people than any missionary I've heard of. You know why? Because he didn't just do what everybody said you're supposed to do. He did in that culture what would help him be a witness in that culture and reach them where they were and not try to make Americans out of them. You know what's wrong with so many missionaries? They go to the mission field and try to convert their people to Americans, not make them be Christians within their own culture. All right, hey, we're not going to look for church members. We're going to look for lost people that need Christ. And when they meet Christ and we can get them to come to church, they'll make a good church member. But they need Christ first. Too many people want to look at talents and abilities. I don't care what they can or can't do. If they're not saved, the very first thing they need is Christ. Everything else will come along. And you know, there's people, listen, we know people collectively through this, just this church of people we know, people do street preaching. There's some people, oh, I can't believe going on the street. Well, you know what? There's folks that lead people to God on the street. Doesn't mean everybody's going to do it, but some folks, hey, that's what God's given them the ability to do. Some people go to nursing homes. Some people go to jails. Amen? Some people are really good at door-to-door. Not everybody's good at door-to-door. Not everybody's good at just starting a conversation with some stranger. Some people do better in an atmosphere like at the festival. People are going to come. You can talk to them. They kind of know. They see a church booth. They know you're about God or something like that. That's kind of a little bit of a given. People have different works. People in the nursery. Some people are, I don't know about nursery. There's all different kind of ministry, but the thing is, the whole thing's supposed to work together. And giving out gospel tracts. I'm telling you, you'd be amazed how many people have never given anybody a gospel tract. And they look at you strange when you do. I was somebody this past week, and we went out to eat, and they got done, ready to pay the bill, put the tip down, ready to get up and everything. No track or anything. I took out a track and laid it down with the tip, and they went, "Oh, that's cool." Oh, that's cool. It's kind of like a nice way to reach people, give them the gospel. Amen? I mean, that's why we have the tracks. They're not just there to fill up a rack on the wall. Amen? And everybody has different opportunities. God, but here's what I found out. If we have the heart that will do it, God gives those divine appointments again. You won't believe how many times that I've had a chance to give somebody a tract because of that one magnet I've got on the back of the truck that says, "The party in hell's been canceled due to fire." I have people who come up and they'll go, "Man, I really like that." I'm like, "Cool, where do you go to church?" Or, "Oh, I go," and if they got a good church, "Oh, that's what's good." They're like, "Man, I like that." Other people are like, "Hey, that's pretty cool. Where do you go to church?" "Well, I mean, I really go to church, but I like it." "Well, hey, can I give you?" There's a tract. It's conversation starter. Amen? I want you to think about this. It was clearly faith which brought the men to the city where our Lord was. Think about it. Why did they bring this man to where Jesus was? Faith. There, Jesus is in the house. Jesus can do it. Now, here's the thing. We don't know their testimonies. There's a song a group sings, I was trying to think what the title of the song is. I think it's called Lazarus. If I'd have thought about it, I'd played it. But they say, let's just give an illustration. And they say, you know, the first man, you know, he used to be blind, and he got healed, but his case wasn't as bad as this guy. The next guy was, crippled or something. Another guy had leprosy. And they had some measure of, you know, faith between them. Could God really help this one? And they look at the fourth man and say, "What's your name?" He says, "My name's Lazarus, and could I testify?" "I heard, you know, Jesus called me forth and I came out. So, yeah, he can help this guy." Right. You know, the thing is, the Bible didn't tell you, but listen, God honored their faith for them to take this man to Christ, overcome the obstacles. You know, it won't surprise me if we face obstacles. Pardon me. Setting up the booth. Something breaks. Something falls apart. Somebody doesn't like this or doesn't like that. Say, why? You think the devil's just going to sit back and say, these people are going to try to reach somebody for Christ, so I'm just going to let them go? Stole your car right out of your driveway. Huh? Oh, they took it from Fuyo? Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I'd say that's an obstacle. Amen? But you know, you see these guys, they didn't stop. When you talk about like faith and reason, what does the Bible tell us in Romans 10, 17? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The four friends of the palsied man, having heard of the cures wrought by Jesus, determined at all hazards to carry their friend to him. Now we call the moral temper, which so influenced them, it may have been the twinkling of an eye of faith. They accepted the statements of those who had been at Capernaum. They did not argue concerning the supernatural power of the Lord, or inquire whether it was consonant with the usual course of nature. So it had been the exercise of reason. See, they sit there and try to reason. You know, they had faith. You know, a lot of people tell us, oh, you just have blind faith. Oh, it's not blind. It's not blind. Not at all. Amen? The evidence of things not seen. Amen? So faith made him ready to take the journey. Faith allowed them to overcome the obstacles of the crowd, the obstacles of getting this man onto the roof, the obstacle of the roof itself, the obstacle of lowering this man down to Christ. And you can imagine him looking up, watching. I mean, this, you think about it, all these people are in this room, and all of a sudden, you know, little pieces of ceiling, you can imagine it kind of falling down, him just kind of stepping aside, and here they come. And it might have been something even as tall as this right here. I'm going to guess probably a little shorter, but still, all of a sudden your roof's coming apart, and here are guys up there, and you can imagine him going, shh, what's going on up there? Hold on, Jesus. Our friend here, he's got the palsy, and we've got to get him to you. I mean, Jesus could have just blinked and he'd have been on the ground. You know what I'm saying? But he watched their faith lower that guy down and in a sense say, okay, Lord, he's yours now. And then the Lord has this guy here, and then the Pharisees and that religious crowd are going, when he says his sins are forgiven, who does he think he is? Forgive sin. Well, he knew exactly who he was. God manifests in the flesh. So then all of a sudden, you think about it, all of a sudden he tells him to be healed. The guy gets up and he takes off with his bed and he's gone. And I can just imagine them guys up there looking down. Then all of a sudden the guy gets up and I'm going, yes! I know they might have shouted. They could have sang a song. I'm going to guarantee you they rejoiced. Amen. Hey, when you see somebody get saved, man, it's the same thing. It'll do something for you. It'll give you a joy like nothing else on this planet. Hey, you can go to King's Island, ride everything all day long, and you'll never experience a joy even comes close to leading somebody to Christ. So you think about faith. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God, knowing to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Well, you think about that. Those guys knew God could do amazing things, but I'm going to guarantee you he did exceeding abundantly above all you could ask or think. Man, they did the labor to get him to Christ, but Christ is the one that raised him up, healed him, and sent him down the road rejoicing. And man, I'm telling you what, if you go there and you'll see, you know, people talk about Brother Spurgeon and you can see he was the biker and all that. Let me tell you something. The first time I saw him was a Saturday morning service at Montgomery County Jail. They were remodeling the jail, so we had to meet in the basement. And they took you down into the basement, and in the big room in the basement, they had taken the library that they had in the jail, and they took the room and divided it by a chain link fence that went from the floor to the ceiling. Over here was a weight room, and over here there was a shelf just full of the library books. And they had chairs, and they had a little pulpit there, and that's where you had church. And you came down the steps, they opened the gate on there, everybody come in, they shut the gate, said, there's a panic button, if you need anything, call us, and then they just left you. And there you are. And when that whole crowd came in that morning, I had a little fellow named Cleves Dodge. He stood about that tall. He had crippled legs. He walked with those crutches that fit on your arms. And the guy could hardly walk, get around, had all kind of physical problems. But I'll give you this. He was faithful to do jail ministry. And he loved doing it. So there's the two of us in there. And then this crowd comes in. And we had a rough crowd that morning. And then Spurgeon come in there. I mean, this guy, he's lost. And as soon as I saw him, I'm like, that guy right there is trouble. And the other guy was with him. I'm like, man, there's double trouble. These guys are genuine trouble. You can tell people that are in there, they're just knuckleheads, and people that are trouble. The guy that invited him to church come in, and I knew him. He'd killed his wife by taking her head off with a hammer while she was laying on the couch. They got in a fuss, she laid down, and so he took a hammer, took her head off. That's the kind of people. I'm just saying, that was a jail crowd. And they're in there, and Spurgeon sat in the back, him and another biker. They just talked and stared at me the whole time. And God gave me a message on hell that morning. I preached on hell like I'd never preached on hell before. And I said, you said, were you afraid? I was concerned. Lord, your property might be in danger here. I just said, God, I need to get the message you want. And I preached. And once I got preaching, then that was no problem then. We got done. They just look at you, grunt at you, go out the door. But God got a hold of his heart. He got saved in his jail cell later on. But you know what? When you see people coming through, that person you think, I guarantee you, out of all the people, if you'd asked me who would have got saved that morning, I wouldn't have thought it was him. And there's people you're going to run into that you're going to think, oh, man. And all of a sudden, they're the one that's looking for God because they've already tried everything else. That's why they look like a train wreck. I get drawn to that crowd. We was doing that parade down there in Germantown. Had that fella sitting on his motorcycle. He's all tattooed up, trying to look all mean and ugly. I'm like, oh, that's my crowd right there. They go over and give this guy a track. We walked over and said, hey, nice bike. Guy's like, yeah. Talked a little bit about it. I was like, hey, let me give you something. Yeah, okay. Took me had to read. If you just walked over and been like, hey, I want to give you something to read, he just looked at us like, phew. We talked, they're human beings. I don't care what they think, what they look like, what they believe. They need Christ. That's the bottom line. They need Christ. I can't help it. It's just there, Bill. Amen. Hebrews 10:38 now says this. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We believe God can save them. I don't care who you put in front of me, I believe God can save them. You know what's interesting there in the book of Hebrews? We call it the chapter of faith, but 15 times the statement begins with, by faith. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. By faith. By faith. By faith. You know what? That by faith was the motivation behind why they did what they did. They did it because they had faith in God to obey God. You know what it is? When you give out a tract, it should be by faith. It should be like, God, you can take this piece of paper with these words on it, with the gospel printed on there, the scriptures that are on there, and you can save these people. I believe you. I believe you. Listen to me now. This is really stepping out. God, I even believe it enough to believe you can give me the words to help somebody if you give me the chance to talk to them. Lord, I believe you can help me remember scriptures I couldn't remember to save my life, but to witness to this person, you'll help me. He promised the Holy Spirit of God was given to us that we could recall the things that he said. There's things you've read you don't even realize you know. And then all of a sudden you're talking to somebody. You may not even remember the whole address, but you can quote them the verse. That's that word of God that works in them. It ain't a matter of whether you remember the address. Tell them what it says. All of a sudden you're witnessing to them and they say, well, there's this. And you say, well, the Bible says. And then boom, there it goes. And then later on somebody said, what'd you say? And you're like, I have no idea. I couldn't tell you what verses I said to save my life. But I know this, God gave me the answer that they needed to hear. He'll bring illustrations to your mind. things you've heard preached, things you've read. He'll help. Listen, why wouldn't he help you? He's more interested in them getting saved than we are. That's why he came. That's why he died. That's why he rose again. But that faith is saying, all right, God, I'm trusting you to help me here. If you get too full of pride, God will help something happen to keep us humble. So just remember, it's not you. So let me ask you something. Will you, by faith, be willing to grab a corner of the bed and bring the lost to Christ? Say, there's folks that have already signed up. You know what? There's a couple, maybe. You get a corner, I get a corner. You'd be surprised how many times even one person standing on this side and one person over here, a person will walk right past that person off from, this person will say something, they'll take it from them. We didn't even talk to the first person. A lot of times when you got children there, they'll look at you like, little kid, can I give you something? Oh, sure, little guy. We just got to be willing. Have the faith. What did we learn? You have to first have a willing mind. You have to have a ready mind. If we're going to serve Him, we need to be right with Him. There's no doubt about it. What Brother McCoy showed us was right. It's about the Lord. It's about being that servant. Not just, well, I got to go and do this. No, Lord, I'm your servant. I'm here. I'm waiting for you to present me with that opportunity. And here they come. Here they come. I remember one year we was there, and of course, now Beaver Creek's a real Catholic area. And I remember there was a bunch of teenage girls coming up toward the booth, and we had the display up there where you look down in the box and all that, and it had the question means, can I answer? So it's like, hey, you guys, I mean, which one of you is the smartest of the crowd? And they're like, what? And like, which one of you is the smartest? And they just look at each other, all right, well, look, here's a question. Millions can answer. Look down in here and tell me. And when they looked down in there, he turned up, pushed a button, a little light came on, and it said, if you died today, are you 100% certain you'd go to heaven? And then they'd look up at you and like, now don't say nothing. We got to see if they can answer the question. And then after, you know, the rest of them look in there and say, okay, now who has the answer to that question? Can any of you answer that question? And they're like, well, I don't know. Then when will I go to church, or I do this, or I do that, whatever. I was talking to them, so I was handing them all a gospel tract. You tell they're kind of getting ready to go on. But I said something. I said, hey, how many of you have ever heard of Queen Esther? Do you know who Queen Esther is? Now, these little kids around here, they'll know Queen Esther. But these were teenage girls raised Catholic. The one girl said, isn't she the Queen of England or something like that? I said, no. A little off on your geography there, but it's okay. But I told him, I said, listen, you know, there's for young ladies, there's something that you can read in the Bible there. I said, take your Bible. And open to the front of it, if you got one there, and where it says Esther, read that book there. That you'll find that be interesting. And they're just going, huh. And then they start chatting among themselves, off they went. You know, I was just trying to sow a seed in their mind that there's something else in the Bible that they might be able to get something from that might get them to turn the page. You never know. You just never know. So a majority of people out there, they don't know the gospel. They don't know anything about heaven or hell except for hell's a good cuss word. They want you to go there and they get mad at you. Heaven's something they hope they get to one day. It's a hope so. You may have a few detractors come by. Somebody wants to argue with you. Just don't argue with them. Somebody wants to come over and they got to prove some point of something they heard here or there. Just listen, really appreciate it. But listen, we got folks come by which... You want to talk to you later? Maybe come by later. I might have a chance to talk to you. We're not there to fight with nobody. Not there to argue with them. There's a thing you find out. You're standing there arguing and fighting with the people walk by and go, see, that's why I don't have nothing to do with Christians. All they do is fight and argue. That's how the devil works, man. I've seen it a million times. So the question for you is, are you willing to grab a corner?
Thank you for listening to Light from the Word, a ministry of Liberty Baptist Church. If you are in the Dayton, Ohio area, we would love to have you join us in person. We are located at 6953 Germantown Pike in Moraine, Ohio. Our regular service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., Sunday morning service at 11 a.m., Sunday evening service at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday evening service is at 7 p.m. Once again, thank you for listening to Light from the Word. We will also be at the Germantown Pretzel Festival. We will have a booth there on September 25th and 26th. Until next time, thank you and good day.